Welcome to the OU Global Tehillim and Chizuk Daily Call. On behalf of the Orthodox Union, this is Naftali Herman. The Daily Call serves as a pause to our day, as an opportunity to convene together from around the world, to daven, to pray for the various needs of Am Yisrael. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Revi'i, the 17th day of the month of Kislev. Today, actually, is my Saftalati, Dr. Herman's yahrzeit. May her neshama have an aliyah. We miss her dearly. Please continue to daven for all those whose names are listed in the daily email, including the four children that we have been davening for: Yehoshua Heschel ben Nechama Devora, Pisach Bitzala ben Chaya Batsheva, Alina Orna Bas Chen Chana, and Raya Bas Michal. May they and all in need have a refuah shalema. Additionally, please keep in mind our precious brothers and sisters still being held hostage in Gaza. May they speedily please be returned to their homes, to their families today. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Ira Eben of Congregation Oav Shalom in Merrick, New York. Rabbi Eben had the last 23 hours and 20 minutes to prepare for this call, which for him is almost in an eternity. So I'll share words of Zeri Chizik, followed by the recitation of our five chapters of Tehillim, Parak Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, Kuf Lamed, and Kuf Mem Beis. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, 130, and 142. And Helm will be followed by Achenu, recited both in Hebrew as well as in English, and then Rabbi Eben will lead us and the recitation of the Mishaberach for our dear Chayalim, the Mishaberach for the Shvuyim, for those that are held captive, and finally, concluding with the Mishaberach L'cholim, pausing for roughly 30 seconds to give each of us the opportunity to insert the names of all those whom we are davening for. To sign up and receive the daily Tehillim call reminder email, subscribe at ou.org/Tehillim call. Again, that link, ou.org/Tehillim call. And to sponsor a day, a week, a month, any part of the program, you could do so at ou.org/call. Again, that link is ou.org/call. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Eben.
So thank you so much, as always, Rabbi Herman. Thank you for that heads up that you gave me already yesterday. And thank you to the OU, as always, for this opportunity. So I recently attended the Tikva Jewish Leadership Conference, as well as their Shabbaton. That took place at Lincoln Square Synagogue, and their theme of the weekend was, or the theme of the Shabbat, was the Christian-Jewish Alliance. And on Shabbat, my wife and I shared a very unique experience of enjoying the entire Shabbat with nearly 100 Christian lay leaders from across North America. Now, so spending Shabbat with a bunch of Christians is probably something I don't do that often. I don't know about others. Rabbi Herman, maybe you do. And what's interesting is you can spot the Christians right away because, number one, they showed up to shul at 9 o'clock, right on the dot, even early. And number two, they don't talk during the entire three-hour services, as opposed to some of the other Jews that were there. Now, these people who I got to talk to and get to know, these people have such an appreciation for the entire Jewish way of life, for the Shabbat, for our Torah, and for the values that we live our lives in. And so, as I said, it was a very unique experience. And over the Shabbat, I got a chance to talk to them. Instead, we shared, they joined us for Shabbat lunch as well. At lunch, I sat next to one particular gentleman who was a teacher by profession, but on weekends, he works as a pastor with an inner-city teenagers who are in prison. Really a very fascinating, pious gentleman. And I told him that I was a rabbi, and he was fascinated by that. He said, can I ask Rabbi, if it's okay, so if you're here on the Sabbath, who's back shepherding your flock? So I said, well, my flock, they don't need so much shepherding. They know what to do. But I did write a sermon for the synagogue president to read. So then he asked, and do you mind if I ask, what scripture did you choose to preach on? So I said, well, the scripture that I chose was, I chose the story of Jacob's ladder. And he was like, what? Like, just like the rabbi at the synagogue that we just went to? Is that a coincidence? And I'm like, no, we all read the story of Jacob this week. And he was like, what? Who, all the rabbis? And I'm like, no, all the Jews. And he was like, all the Jews in America? And I'm like, no, all the Jews in the world. He was just blown away by this. He's like, what about those very religious Jews? I think they call them Hasidim or something. And I'm like, yep, them too. We all read the same scripture. He said, how long have you been doing that? So I told him, probably for at least a couple thousand years. And he was absolutely blown away by this. He thought this was the best idea anyone could have ever heard of. And I was thinking, should I even tell him about Daf Yomi? Little shout out to those who finished Bava Basra today, by the way. So then he asked, well, is it against the rules to go ahead? And I explained to him that we're encouraged to study whatever we want, but regardless, every week, we all keep the same pace for the Torah portion. It's funny, I was thinking about how sometimes it takes an outsider to appreciate, as you see, what special gifts you have. Things that we just take for granted, and things that we think is just a given. One of them is the gift of the Parsha Shavua. So as Jews, we travel these stories and these laws of our Parsha Shavua together, week after week. We never stay fixated on one individual theme. We drink from the riches of each story. But then as a nation, as an entire people, we turn the page. We turn the page together, each week reminding each other that this is our unifying story. We were bound together then, and we are bound together now. And just as importantly, we are reminded that the next chapter of our destiny is still being written. In our parsha last week, parsha at Vayishlach, after this encounter between Yaakov and Esav that turned out not to be much of an encounter, Esav invites Yaakov to come with him. And Yaakov responds and says, no, we're not going to go. Yaver na, doni lefnei avdo, v'ani et na'ale le'iti l'regal ha'mlacha ashe l'fanai, l'regal ha'yeladim ad asher avo ala v'nif v'yira. Said, therefore, let my master please go to his, though he goes on to his usual place, you'll go on your own, ahead of his servant himself, while I move at my own slow pace, at the pace of the workforce that is ahead of me, and the pace of the children, until I reach my master at Seir. Yaakov says, you go ahead, and I'll catch up to you at Har Seir. But of course, Yaakov never goes to Har Seir. In fact, he settles in Sukkot, and Rashi asks that simple question, did Yaakov ever intend to go? One of Rashi's answers is that he said, he'll go eventually, the Yemot HaMashiach. When it says in the Haftorah that we read this past week, Valu Moshe and Bahar Tzion Lishpodet Har Tzav, and then saviors will then ascend to Har Tzion to read judgment on Har Esav. Yaakov is sharing within us an important message that we'll get there. We'll get there eventually, even though he may tarry. But in the meantime, we will travel at our own regular pace, and we will continue to slowly turn the page. We live in a world that has an attention span of less than a goldfish. According to the American Psychological Association, the average human attention span has decreased from 12 seconds in the year 2000 to 8.25 seconds in 2015. And even more striking is how people today have an understanding of history and historical context, or lack of. This is why they're subject to the pitfalls of what's referred to as presentism, which is the tendency to interpret past events in terms of modern values and concepts. This is why everybody is canceling everybody else. The Judaism tradition of faith tells us something very different. It tells us that there were those that came before us, and there will be others that come after us. And we are challenged to accomplish much in the short time that we have on this earth, but never lose faith and hope that what we see is not the entire story. And our nation must look telescopically. We must move at our own slow pace. And if we look at the broader view, we will never, ever lose hope. Last week, in the middle of the Middle East with the collapse of Syria, and then the IDF came in, sweeping in and destroying nearly all of its arsenal in a matter of a couple of days, was just the latest in what can only be described as an absolutely remarkable time for the Jewish nation. As one article put it, Israel has a set of shocking, fast, and decisive victories in the face of what seemed only moments before to me near insurmountable odds. In really just 75 days or so, we've seen the rapid collapse of the Assad genocidal regime in Syria, the effortless destruction of Iranian air defenses, the neutralization of every member of Hezbollah's leadership, the new security buffer zone in Lebanon and Syria, the capture of the hugely strategic peak of Har Haron, and the absolute dismantling of Hamas. And that is not to mention the continued behind-the-scenes works of our former enemy nations, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, Bahrain, UAE. If you told anyone this on October 8th, if you described this picture, there is no way that they would have believed you. But we should have. We should have believed it because we've been through these stories before, and we'll read these stories together again and again. But there is another piece of this. Beyond our foundational story that we traveled together, there is also tomorrow's story. Not so long ago, I heard a talk by Natan Sharansky. He was interviewed some months back about the soldiers of the IDF. He said, we didn't know that the soldiers had it in them. We had no idea that they would be this capable, this dedicated, this committed, this heroic. We had no idea what they were, just kids on their phones. And here they are. And we've seen what they've been able to do. We had no idea what they were capable of. But I like to say that we should have. Because these amazing young men and women, our sons and our daughters, have been traveling through the pages of the Jewish people together with us, page after page, parsha after parsha. And they see themselves as this next chapter in this story. And I have spoken to soldiers myself. They see themselves as part of the next generation of the army of the Jewish people. And just as King David's army and the Maccabees fought for the survival of the Jewish people, so are they. And just as they were successful, God has shined light on those soldiers and those armies, so will God shine his light on our shoulders, soldiers now. Bayamim ahem, bazman hazeh. In those days, in this time. No wonder that the most popular song in Israel today is a song that can be heard in the bars and at soccer matches and at Malala Malkos and Yeshivas. The song is called Tamid Ohev Oti, and it says, when sang by what seems to be a secular Sephardi Israeli Jew, there's no such thing anymore, it says the following, Shehashem Yisbarech Tamid Ohev Oti, that Hashem may be blessed, he always loves me. Hashem Yisbarech Tamid Ohev Oti, v'tamid yedei rach tov, and I will always be good. And it will always be well. It will always be even better, even better, even better, even better. And it will always be well. You know, on that weekend, I spoke to a number of Christians, as I said, and speaking to another one from that weekend, one of them said to me, I didn't say this in such a sympathetic way, said, it must be so hard to even celebrate a Shabbat. It must be so difficult in such a difficult time with anti-Semitism and what's going on in Israel. And I told him, of course it's hard, but we must celebrate. And then he said to me, well, yes, I guess you must be focused. You have to be focused on being present. And I said, no, I focus on the past and I focus on the future. And I know, because I join the entire nation in reading the Parsha HaShavua every week. I turn the page, and I know the Ode Yoter Tov. We'll take the opportunity now to recite some Tehillim together. We'll start with Parakaf. Amateach Mezmor LeDavid. Yoncha Adonai B'Yom Tzara. Yitzagaf Hashem El Yaakov. Yishlach Ezrecha B'Kodesh U'Mitzion Yisadeka. יזכר כל מנחותיך ועולות וידשת שמה. ייתן לך כל עבדך וכל עצתך ימלא. נראה מבישועתך ושם אלוהינו נגדול. ימלא ירנאי כל משלותיך. עד תידעתי כי ישי ירנאי בשיחו. ינינו בשביל קדשו וגרות ישם בנו. אלה ברכה ואלה בסוסם. ואנחנו בשם אדוני אלוהינו נזכיר. הם הקרו ונפלו ואנחנו קמנו לצדוד. אדוני הושיע. המלך ינין ביום קרינו. חף גמל 23. His mother David, Adonai Roy Lelastar, Benotesha Yabitania me Menuchotin Aleni, Nafshi Yeshovi Yonkinu Vimagaytek Lanchino, Kam Kielach and Gaita Mother Loi Arak Yata Imadi, Shittecha Umishantecha, Hima Yinachamuni, Tarach Mopana Shecha Megatarai, Shanta Besham and Roshi Kosu Rabaya, Achso Vachetad Yudafuni Koyame Chayai, the Shafi Vivit Adonai Liarkanim, Kovchapalas, Shilam Alot, It's an ayah lerim the ayin yelo ezri. Ezri mi im adonai oter shemayim varet. Ayitin lamod raglecha al yanum shemecha. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shemei Yisrael.
הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, אחמם מבטם מחזיקם ויחי אותם. שפכם נהר פור של ירושלים, רחמים מסגרים בתוך שפכו ישראל. פות הנפש, פות הגוף, השתא בגולת מקריב, ונאמר אמן.
אמן. Thank you so much, Rabbi Abin. Fascinating and very much appreciated. As always, we look forward to having you back on the program, please God, and Yirtzeh Hashem, in the near future. For us here at the Daily Tehillim Call, please join us again for our next scheduled program tomorrow on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. As each day, we pause at this time to share a moment of tefillah, of prayer together. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing nechama, comfort, chizuk, strength, and hope to all of Klal Yisrael around the world.